Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Good to see you here today in the house of the Lord. Last week was Easter weekend, and I got to celebrate the communion service in Smithville, and now just a week later, here in Lancaster. I wanted to share a few thoughts with you here as we prepare ourselves for the communion service today. You know, last weekend, I could say it was Easter weekend, and with the passage that Leslie read a while ago, it just extends it to this weekend, right? But anyway, last weekend I had two questions for the congregations in Smithville and Woodbury. How did Jesus know that following his death, he would be resurrected? How did he know that? And secondly, how did he know that his resurrection would occur the third day after the crucifixion? I'll leave you contemplating those two questions. There are answers to them, how he knew that. And I'll just give you a hint. Had to do with his intimate knowledge of the Holy Scriptures and also his intimate knowledge of the ceremonial system. From there he learned these two things. But the question I want us to ponder today, and you may think it a strange question, but I'll see if I can explain it to you. But here's my question to you today. Have you been resurrected? Now, you know, we think about the resurrection spoken of in John 5 by Jesus, and certainly by Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4, the bodily resurrection of the dead in Christ. Later, 1,000 years later, the bodily resurrection of the wicked. But there's a resurrection that has to take place before the bodily one. And maybe I coined a new word this week. I don't think it will stick. But I'm calling it the pre-Advent resurrection. And of course, I'm talking about the spiritual resurrection, of which baptism is a symbol. Right? We're supposed to enter the watery grave and bury the old man of the past and be resurrected to a new life, right? Mm-hmm. Do you agree we got to experience that resurrection before we experience the bodily one? Should we fall asleep in Jesus? So have you been resurrected? Have you been a true participant in it? That resurrection symbolized by baptism, by immersion. That resurrection that changes us from being a sinner into a saint. That, Jesus says that if we believe in him and the one who sent him, we have passed from death into life. So can you believe it? Do we really act like we believe it? That we are actually enjoying eternal life right now. It has already begun for the children of God, although it may be briefly interrupted by our time in the grave. But you know what we say when a person closes their eyes in death? The next thing they know, Jesus is coming. It's as if there's no time went by. And so that's why Jesus could say to Mary and Martha, you know, that I'm the resurrection and the life. If you will believe in me, you will never die. Because that first death is not really death in the truest sense of the word. The real death is the second death in the lake of fire, from which there is no resurrection, you know. But we are already engaged in eternal life. And so, have you been resurrected? I want to share something, just kind of briefly, some things here. that I was sharing in Smithfield this morning. In Jude, the little book of Jude, verse 24, it says, "Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy." Don't you like that verse? What a great verse that is. Now, that God is able to keep you from falling. Now, is that just simple rhetoric? Or is that really true? That God is able to keep you from falling. Here's something awesome that I learned as I, over the last couple of weeks, have been studying into the subject resurrection. But here's something that I discovered this week. Looking into the Holy Scriptures, taking this book into your hand. This is wonderful stuff. But taking this book into your hand, where is the power of God best displayed? According to this book, where is the power of God best displayed? Now, let me give you some options here. Is it found in the miracles that God has performed over the course of this world's history? You know, in Psalm 106, verse 8, it looks back on the story of the Exodus, how God delivered Israel from Egypt with a mighty hand, mm-hmm. with all those plagues, opening the Red Sea, and all those things that God did, manna, and water from the rocks. Is that where we see best displayed the almighty power of God? Or is it found in his creation of this world and everything connected to it? In Jeremiah 21:15, we read, "He hath made the earth by his power." Mm-hmm. And think about how he made the earth. Not with his hands, but with his mouth. He spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Is that where we see best displayed the power of God? Or what about looking into the starry night sky and contemplating the vastness of the universe and the innumerable heavenly objects contained in it? You know, Psalm 19, verse 1. "Consider the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God." Is that where we see best revealed the power of God? You know, there's an object out there. When I was pastoring up in East Tennessee, there's a, what do you call those places you can go and they show you all the stars? Observatory. Anyway, they have one there, Kingsport, they have it. And as you're in there walking around before you go into the theater area there, they have a picture that they are extraordinarily proud of. And it's one of the clearest pictures that was ever taken of the Horsehead Nebula. And I don't know if you've ever seen pictures of the little Horsehead Nebula. This is silly on my part, but it's in Orion. And I always say that's the white horse Jesus is going to ride back to the earth, you know, when he comes riding on a white horse, you know. Anyway, I bring it up because, you know, when you look at that picture, the little horse head is about like that. But they tell you underneath there that across that horse head nebula, across the little horse's head, is 6 trillion miles. It looks about the size of your thumb in the picture, but it encompasses 6 trillion miles across that horse's head. And so we think of the vastness of space, man, you know, and all of those heavenly objects, innumerable out there. Is that where we see best displayed the almighty power of God? Well, actually, It came to me, well, look with me at, let's just read about it. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 1. And I don't know, maybe you like me, you know, certainly having read these verses, but sometimes you just don't catch all of the meaning and significance. But anyway, it says here, Ephesians 1:19, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly places. What is that saying? That the best display of God's almighty power is in the resurrection. First of all, the resurrection of Jesus. And secondly, in the resurrection of the sinner, from sinner to saint. That is in the resurrection that we see the exceeding greatness of God's power. You know, it's kind of like over in Philippians, you know, when Paul, who had a great command of the Greek language, struggled to find the right adjectives and the right adverbs to describe the outpouring of God's blessings upon us. He just simply said that God blesses us exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Here's the same kind of language. That is in the resurrection of Jesus and subsequently our resurrection, spiritual resurrection, that the greatest demonstration of God's power is seen.
Isaiah 13:12, same idea. I will make a man more precious than fine gold.
There you go, right, exactly.
More precious than the wedge of oak.
So my question this morning as I ask us, have you been resurrected? Have you really experienced this exceedingly almighty power of God that's stated in Jude 24 that he's able to keep us from falling? So really and truly, dear brother and sister, there's no reason for us to sin. If we truly experience the power of the resurrection, the greatest display of God's power in changing our lives. You know, Jesus called it the new birth. And over in 2 Corinthians 5:17, that when in Christ we are a new creature, a new creation. Now, maybe this is another silly question, but which power is truly the greatest, do you believe? The power to create, are the power to recreate? I think it's myself personally, this is just me, but I believe it's the power to recreate. I mean, you know what? When God created Adam, you know, he scooped up the elements of the earth and made Adam's body, and then he breathed into him the breath of life, and he came alive. God had that power. And later to take a rib and make Eve. But the power to recreate, that's what we're talking about. That's the kind of power that Jesus brings to bear upon our lives when we experience that spiritual resurrection. So that he can keep us from falling. If we haven't experienced that power yet, we get another opportunity at it today, don't we? As we come to this special table representing Jesus' death, and along with his death, his resurrection, we serve a living Savior. And the resurrection was as critical to the plan of salvation as was his death, if not even more so. But how do we know if we really have experienced the power of the resurrection? I'm sure there's a lot of verses we could look at from Genesis to Revelation, but I've just chosen a few here, key few. Colossians 3, verses 1 to 4. And we won't take time to read those. You can jot them down. But But the question there is, where are your thoughts primarily centered? You know, we think a lot of thoughts in the course of a day's time. That verse says that we ought to be thinking about heaven more than anything else. That our thoughts need to be up there in the celestial city where Jesus sits at the right hand of his Father. So what about your thoughts? Are they more spiritual than they are secular, you know? We ought to be thinking more about our eternal future. Galatians 5, verses 24 and 25. Are we continuing to crucify the lusts of the flesh and to walk in the Spirit? Ephesians 5:14, are you accepting the light that the Lord is shining down? You know, Jesus said, walk in the light while you have the light. He shines light down upon us. Are we receiving that light and walking in it? 2 Timothy 2:8-12, are you patiently enduring the trials of your faith? Letting those trials draw you closer to the Lord, not drive you further away. Hebrews 6:1, are you gaining ground spiritually rather than losing it? James says that faith without works is dead. The only way you can know if you really have true faith is how it's helping you to live in harmony with God's will. Mm-hmm. We don't earn salvation by our good works, but it shows whether we really are connected into Jesus. He's the vine and we are the branches, you know. Are we vitally connected to Jesus? And boy, here's the acid one, I think. 1 John 3:14. It says there, you can know if you have passed from death to life if you love the brethren. Man, that's a big one, isn't it? We have a program over in Woodbury at the Baptist Church. It's held at the Baptist Church. They open their facilities, their fellowship hall for the program. It's called Celebrate Recovery. And it's a program that's supposed to help people deal with the hurts, hang-ups, and habits in their lives. And we as a Seventh-day Adventist Church, we have been helping with that program because we realize there's a lot of people out there that need that kind of help. That's right. And so we're happy to participate with the Baptists and the Methodists and some of the others, you know, who have kind of come together to make this program possible for the community there. But anyway, I bring it up because of one of the guys who comes to it, one of the guys that helps lead out in it, he's always talking about and asking for prayer because of the animosity between him and his brother. That whenever they get together, they fight more than they do anything else, you know. I guess both of them are in charge of their father's farm with their father's passing, and they both have different ideas about what to do, and those ideas clash a lot of times. So he's always praying, asking me and others to pray, you know, that he and his brother can get along better. So we have that kind of situation a lot of times, don't we, in families and so forth. But you can know, the Bible says, If you've really experienced the power of the resurrection by looking at how you relate to your family and to your fellow man, do you really love them? Jesus said there in the upper room, which we're about to commemorate, you know, that we are to love others as he has loved us. And that's the way the world would really know if we really belong to him or not. Mm-hmm. So again, my question, have you been resurrected? Have you experienced the power of God demonstrated in the resurrection? And that we have the opportunity today to experience anew the power of the resurrection. Praise God. Amen. And so let us participate freely and joyfully in this service today.